bringing attention to the body, here at the beginning of a period of sitting meditation, consciously bringing into our awareness how the body feels, noticing our physical being, the weight of the body, temperature, comfort, discomfort. Before trying to do anything with the body or the mind, it's helpful to take a moment to assess, to check, how does it feel? Where are we starting from? What's the material like that we're about to work with? Often we can be very quick to jump in and start fixing and changing and doing without really noticing what it is that we're working with. So it always helps at the beginning of a period of meditation, the sitting or walking, to just check, to ask yourself, how is it? What's the mind like? What's the body like? Here, now. We feeling heavy and sleepy, light and energetic, warm, cool, comfortable, uncomfortable, somewhere in the middle. And then after just a moment or two of checking in, then we have a bit of a sense of where we're starting from. What's the dough like today? What's the clay doing in this weather, this humidity? Once you've taken a moment just to look and to feel how things are, both in the body, also in the mood. Then take a few minutes to slowly sweep the attention through the posture. Noticing the spine, how we're holding it. Are we tense and rigid? The back very stiff, tight? Are we slumped and listless? Is the body sort of dumped on the cushion or dumped in a chair and settling to the lowest center of gravity possible? Or is the spine comfortably extended? The body held upright in an energetic and balanced way. Take a moment to bring attention to the spine and to invite it to lengthen, to gently stretch and grow to its comfortable, full, natural extent. as the body sits a little more upright, notice the change that that brings. Just letting the spine stretch to hold itself in a more upright and alert way. And that brings a, at least some degree of brightening, clarifying to the mind. There's a little more energy in the system. And then around the central column of the spine, let the rest of the body relax fully and completely. It's taking a little time to sweep the attention through the whole body, through the face, neck and shoulders, steadily all the way down through the body, letting it relax, settle. Be fully at ease. So right here in the body, in our posture, there's the establishment of the balancing of energy on the one hand and relaxation on the other. These two work together. They don't argue or conflict. Even though this too might seem paradoxical, we associate energy with being agitated, with being excited or busy. We associate relaxation with being sort of switched off or slumped. But two of the qualities of the enlightened mind, the bojanga, factors of enlightenment, our energy, virya, and also pasati, tranquility, calmness. Well, these two can coexist harmoniously together, here in the body and in the mind as well. So when we establish the sitting posture, it's a finding of that balance where the body is both fully energized, alert, but also relaxed, tranquil, settled, fully at ease. Once we've established a balanced, comfortable, energetic sitting posture, and consciously bring the attention to settle upon the breath, feeling the rhythm of the breathing. That you can focus upon this sensation of the breath wherever it's most clearly discernible. Some people find it's most easy to notice the breath as the air enters and leaves the nostrils. If the mouth is closed and breathing through the nose, you might be able to feel the breath most clearly there. Others find it more easy to follow it with the movement of the chest. Feeling the gentle rising and falling of the lungs, the chest, and the heart area. Wherever you find the breath most easy to discern, to be able to focus upon its qualities, just bring the attention to that spot. We're not trying to change the breath in any way, not trying to make it particularly slow or deep or rhythmic in a fixed way. Just allow the body to breathe according to its own innate natural rhythms. Whether it happens to be deep or shallow, the breath's long or short, doesn't matter. The body has its own intelligence. We don't have to do the breath. There's no sense of I or me or mine necessarily involved. The body breathes on its own. It's not a self-centered thing. The body is a natural system. So without trying to change or do anything with the breath, just let it be at the very center of attention. And for this period of time, let this be what we're focusing our attention upon. Consciously laying aside all other concerns. No need to plan anything for the day. No need to recollect anything of the past. No need to figure anything out. For this short period of time, let the breath be the only thing that is of interest to us. Even if we do have large-scale issues or things to ponder and figure out in our life, they can wait for half an hour. They don't need to be attended to now. If they require some thought, some attention, that can be followed through, that can be acted upon later. So we set the conscious intention just to focus the mind, put the attention upon the breath, to feel each inhalation from the beginning to the end, to feel each exhalation, and noticing the pauses between each part of the cycle. How at the end of the inhalation there's a short hesitation, a pause, and then the out-breath comes. Similarly, at the end of the out-breath, there's a moment, a break, a pause, before the next in-breath begins. Now we establish the breath as a meditation object, not because of some sacred quality that the breath has or some kind of special significance that it might possess in our universe, but simply to use it as a convenient, natural reference point. The body always exists in the present moment. It never wanders off into the past or the future. It's always here. It's therefore an unavoidable, distinct marker for the here and now, for the Pachupana Dhamma, the here and now present reality. So when we establish the feeling of the breath as a reference point, as a marker, a flag in this way, then as the attention does drift, the mind starting to doze, to switch off, to drift into an unconscious state, or it starts to wander into ideas, plans, memories, moods, chattering and commentating. Because we have a clear and distinct marker, it's easier to notice that drift starting to happen. When the attention is wandering off into some story, a fond memory, an anxious projection, a random story, then we can notice, this is not the breath. This is me reliving last week. This is not the breath. This is me wondering what's going to be for breakfast. This is not the breath. This is me wondering about whether I've got the right amount of clothing on this morning. So this is the advantage of having a simple, clear, distinct marker, is that as soon as the attention gets caught in anything that is not that, it's telling us, drift is happening, the mind's wandering. It's not with the present reality, it's not attending to this moment. It's off in some creation, some projection. The value of using a concentration practice like this, taking a distinct, simple, natural marker, is that it reveals to us the habits of distraction. So we're learning how distraction works, how the attention wanders, drifts into fantasy realms, self-creations, how we continually build the feeling of I and me and mine, and therefore how we build the sense of alienation, insecurity, the stress within ourselves. The more clearly we see how distraction is formed, how it takes place, the easier it is not to be caught in it. When we understand the process, then it's easier not to become entangled within its effects. And by keeping the attention, training the attention to work against the forces of distraction, then we're able to establish its opposite, the quality of integration. And distraction literally means pulled apart, scattered in different directions. So when the distraction, that scatteredness, is noticed, when you see the attention has wandered, drifted into an idea, into a doze, into a worry, a plan, as soon as you notice that that drift has happened, consciously let go. Whatever it is the mind has grabbed hold of, a doubt, a fear, a fantasy, consciously let go. Release it. Relinquish it. Reassert the attention upon the breath once more. And when we notice that the mind has wandered, as I've been saying, it's essential, crucial to relate to that experience of distraction, whether it's into dullness or agitation or whatever, to relate to that with an attitude of forgiveness and kindness, patience. Not letting the mind dwell in self-criticism or frustration. Just noticing those as other moods and mental reactions. Just let go. Patiently begin again. Let go of whatever it is the mind has grabbed hold of. Come back to the center. Come back to the balancing point once again. And in this way, we're learning how not to, we're not trying to make the mind stay on the object by an act of force or compulsion, just by sheer willpower. But like training a young child, steadily, patiently. We're working with the mind's energies rather than fighting against them. We're learning to understand agitation and distraction, dullness. We're working with them, seeing how they operate, and steadily creating the alternative, patiently, kindly. Learning how distraction works. Learning how not to follow it. And because of this, it's important to bear in mind that it doesn't matter how many times the mind wanders, especially in the first few days of a retreat, before we've adjusted to the pace and the silence, the routines of the retreat environment. It's completely natural for there to be a scatteredness. To mind, lurching, drifting this way and that. It's to be expected. So it doesn't matter if the mind wanders, gets distracted, carried away 1,000 times in the space of an hour. This is merely a 1,000 opportunities to look at the habit of distraction, switching off, zoning out, building castles in the air and going to live in them. It's the opportunity to see that habit, to know it, and to train the heart to let go of that, to relinquish that. To come back to enjoy the reality of the present, the truth of the way things are, this moment. Each morning, as some people prefer to sit for a longer time, others more benefited by doing some walking meditation in this morning period. We divide it into two sections. So when I ring the bell, and those of you who, I'll just ring it one time, and those of you who'd like to go out and do some walking meditation for half an hour, then you can do so. And those of you who prefer to stay in here and to sit, you can do that. If you have chosen to sit, then that means you stay. Don't change your mind in 10 minutes. Those of you who decide to go out and walk, you too. Don't change your mind and come back in again. So after those who wish to get up and to do some walking have left, then means the hall remains quite still and quiet for the remaining period. Then at 10 to 7, I'll invite Sister Kirinyani to ring the bell so that then let people know to come back in, and then we'll have a short chant and closing for the morning session. So now you can have a minute to consider whether you're a stayer or a goer. But also would encourage people just to not be caught into doubt about which is the best thing to do, but just to make a choice. See what appeals to you, what feels appropriate, and then just to act upon that.